I feel the Holy Spirit. How about you? He's in this place. He's in your home as you watch. He's moving. Please tell your neighbor, God is for you. He's not against you. Encourage someone, please. Amen. You may be seated today. I want to welcome you both in person and online. Thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing, both locally, around the state, around the nation. Many countries are watching. Let's give it up for the online campus, please. Thank you so much for watching. We love you. We're doing our best for you every weekend. And if you're new to City, we would ask you to please make 3 visits because we think it takes some time to get to know us. And we would love to get to know you as we love, as we build, and as we lead together. And, you know, through all the stuff that's going on, I just believe that because of Jesus, the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. One more time. The best is yet to come. God is going to make a way. Now, check out the new worship guide today as well. It will give you all the next steps to take and give you upcoming events. We would love for you to connect in those. I want to say happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, United States of America. And I'm honored to be in this country. I've been around the world. I've been honored to do that. And I am so privileged that we have, I believe what we have in the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. And that idea alone for most of the world today is still not in existence. And so I pray that we would live that out to the fullest here in America and that everyone have that. But I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. And I'm blessed to be here. Let's give it up, please. For the United States of America and the freedom to be here today. And His grace is sufficient. And I believe that in Jesus, our gaps can be healed in this nation. We're beginning a new series entitled Balanced Bible. And every weekend, we're going to take maybe a topic that is, you know, has tension or people have different thoughts about it. And we want to balance it out in Scripture. And this is going to be a challenge for me because these messages, you know, they could be intense in terms of content, but I'm going to make them as concise and as simple as I can. And so you don't want to miss a weekend, so please watch online and invite people and or come in person. And so today I want to preach a message entitled, Is God Mad? In fact, say that with me. Say, Is God Mad? Now, for many people, they believe different thoughts on this question. For some of us, we've been taught that God is mad. Some of us have views in our mind that God is an old man with lightning bolts and we are doomed to be struck down and, you know, we will be cursed. We had people even last year curse, you know, different politicians and do things in the name of the Lord. And so there's a lot of different views on this subject. Some are extreme in one way and some are extreme in the other way. And so we want to have a balanced approach. So if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. If not, just follow me on the screen. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to ring from the New King James Version. Come on, King James. Come on, King James. All right. Thou withest cometh to theest. But it will make sense, I promise. The Bible says this, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Now notice verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Aren't you glad about that? And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Father, I thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit that's here. We can feel You here with us. I pray for those in this building and online that all of us would lay down our resistance, set aside our distractions. We would lean in for the next few moments, open our hearts and receive, and that all of us would take our next steps in our faith. Lord, I pray You keep us safe in this room and as we go about our week. I thank You, Lord, that we would draw close to You. And I thank You, Lord, that I hide behind You today. Speak through me today. And I give You all the praise in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. Is God mad? What I want to do in this message, I want to take 2 main thoughts. I'm going to preach on the Old Testament. I'm going to break that down. And then I'm going to segue to the New Testament and unpack the verses that we just read to give clarity on this massive subject, by the way, that is still wrestled with by people in church, maybe you yourself, and by really the church in general around the world. Is God mad? You know, first off, I want to say this. The Bible says in the New Testament that God is love. I want you to think about that language. God is love. In other words, he doesn't have love that he chooses to give when he loves someone. He is love. The core of him, the essence of him, the very inner being of who God is love. And in the Old Testament, he reveals this in detail to Moses for the first time, as we see in history. And he says about himself that he is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Listen to this. Forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, aren't you glad that God is like that? Amen. The Bible says he's slow to anger. I'm so glad he's slow to anger. How about you? So the merciful, gracious, long-suffering, all those things and so many more are from the fact that he is love, period. Everything God does is from love because it's what he is. He loves every person in the world the same. He doesn't love, you know, of the real spiritual people more than those that aren't. And he doesn't grow in love with you and I as the days go on, as we live our life, like we would do maybe with our child or a spouse or a friend. Maybe our love for them would grow over time. With God, no. God loves us at its highest point all the time, no matter what we do or don't do. He's awesome, isn't he? And yet, what about the Old Testament? Is God mad? In the Old Testament, we see where God reaches out. First off, he created the heavens and the earth in Genesis. He makes Adam and Eve. They're walking with God. They're naked and not ashamed. We spoke on that in April. Then they sin, and the very first thing we see is shame, hiding, and God comes and looks for them. It's amazing. From that event, the fall of man, we call it in theology, which is the study of the scripture, the fall of man. And the Bible says that the curse of that fall fell on the earth. Spiritual death, meaning not physical death, but spiritual death, being eternally away from God, was ruling the earth because of that event. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, through one man, Adam, sin and death rule over all, but through the second Adam, Jesus, life and hope has reigned through all. Aren't you glad for Jesus? So God chooses Abraham. He blesses Abraham. Hundreds of years later, he reaches out to Moses. In Moses' ministry, God gives over 600 rules that you and I would think is just unbearable, and it was. But he did that. I want you to stay with me, please. Just lean in. He did that not to be mean. He did that not to load them down with burdens. He gave them those rules so that he could get as close to them as possible and they could get as close to God as possible and still navigate this massive barrier that was between God and man, and that was called sin. In the Old Testament, the sins of the people were never removed from their life because Jesus hadn't come and died for their sins. We see the roller coaster of the Old Testament, people loving God and then leaving God, coming back to God and worshiping idols and doing this and doing that. And it's up and down. It's good kings, it's bad kings. It's chaos, and then there's blessing. It's up and down. Finally, God's people were exiled two different times to foreign nations. And so we have this up and down situation in the Old Testament. And the whole time, no person was ever clean of their sin. It's almost like if aren't you glad we all have clothes on today? I know that sounds random. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. What's going on in here? Honey, who's this guy talking about? Anyway, just imagine like on our chest, we would have a massive scar that we wouldn't want anyone to see. So obviously we would have a shirt on and cover that up. In public, no one would need to know that we have this scar, but the shirt would cover it. It doesn't mean the scar is gone. It just means it's being covered up. In the Old Testament, sins weren't removed. They were covered up, like a shirt covering a scar. So there was never a full cleansing of sin. It was only a temporary fix to this massive barrier between God and people, which was called sin. Because of the rebellion and the resistance to God and all the things that were going on, the Bible says clearly that we have these verses in the Old Testament where God was angry with his people. God was angry with the people of the world. We see where God regretted things, where he was grieved, where he was saddened. And so in the Old Testament, we see the anger of God, not because he's not love, and not because he's mean, and not because he's a harsh judge. We see him angry because of sin. And he desperately was trying to get to people, and he wanted them to get to him, but they couldn't because of sin. And so there was this tension of ongoing, you know, I would say chaos spiritually, because the sins were covered, but the sins weren't removed. So in Moses, God gives these 600 laws and he institutes this rhythm of sacrifice of animals. In the Western world, we were like, I don't understand this. This is almost inhumane, as people maybe would feel that way about that subject. But we don't understand in the Western world. But the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So God instituted various sacrifices of animals to help cover the sin of their lives, so that they could have a little bit of God's, of his mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, right, his kindness. They would mess up, and he would do it again. It'd be back and forth, back and forth. So once a year, to make the people right with God, the high priest would take a piece of wood, like a stick. They would kill a lamb, and he would dip the stick in the blood of the lamb. And he would go into the temple, or the church, as we would call it maybe today, and there was a piece of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant. Who remembers the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Come on, somebody. That's an awesome movie, right? If you haven't seen it, go home and watch it today. It's amazing. Okay? But I'm not talking about that Ark. I mean, this is the real Ark, right? So they would go in, and he would have this stick dipped in the lamb's blood. He would go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. He would take the stick and he would fling it 7 times as they were instructed. And he would sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant. Again, this was a symbol of what Jesus would do. In that moment, by faith, everyone was covered in their sin. Their sin was there, but they were covered and they were clean. Then something would happen, and the next year it would happen again. And again and again. And so we see here where God in the Old Testament was blocked getting to his people because of sin. And by the way, he had the right to be angry because he made us in his image and likeness, and he made us to have fellowship with him. He wasn't unjust in being angry. And he was trying to get to them. Again, he is love. He's trying to get to them. He's trying to help them. And He wants them to be close to him, but they can't. And over again, we have this pattern. So this covering of the sin takes place, and they're made right with God on a temporary basis. So in the Old Testament, the anger of God was stirred, and he was disappointed and angry at what was going on. Then we segue to the New Testament, and Jesus comes. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Now, I want you to stay with me, please. I want to break these verses down and give you biblical context in this series, Balanced Bible. Notice in verse 9 that God manifested the love of God by sending his only son to you and I. And in verse 10, and this is love, not that we love God. We didn't love God first. Notice he loved us and sent his son. I want you to, just to receive this. God didn't wait on us to get our life right. God didn't wait on humanity to do a certain amount of things Then he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus into chaos. He sent Jesus into a mess. And he did it because he wanted people so bad. He wanted us to be with him so bad. He was motivated by love because he is love. He manifested that love by giving Jesus, who would be the remedy of this massive barrier called sin. I want you to think about how the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. God moved toward us when we were cursing God. God moved toward us when I was resisting God. God moved toward us when I said I didn't want God. God was good to us when we weren't good to him. God was merciful to us when we weren't merciful to others. God forgave us when we weren't forgiving other people. God was smiling on us and we were cussing him out. And he came to us and he made the first move because he is that good and that awesome. Come on, give him praise. I feel good already. Woo! I love it. I remember when Summer and I were dating, and we were starting to like each other more, and she was going crazy over me. She was just chasing me down, and she was just, chill out, Summer, just chill out. And had to help her out a little bit. But have you ever done this? If you were dating anyone or got married, have you ever had like this outward or inner competition? Who would say I love you first? Anyone ever do that before? Thank you for one honest person. You're a righteous person. The rest of you are lying. Anyway, me and Summer did. And so we were liking each other. She was chasing me down. I was like, chill out. I'm a pastor. Can't do that. And so actually, in reality, I was chasing her down. I was in love with her. She was scared because I was a preacher, because half of us are crazy. But we made it. So we were at a church event. Church events are a great time to look around and maybe see someone you like. Kind of an awkward laughter right now in the room. Maybe you at home. Everyone look at me. And so I was going to impress her by saying I love you in a different language. Because I was a Mac Daddy. Right? And so we were sitting at this event. We were just sitting at the church event and I was like, je t'aime. Yo te amo. Ya te ale blue. She said, what you say? I said, you tell me what I said. I said, I love you in about three languages, French, Spanish, and I think the other one is German, I think. And she said, that don't count. I said, it does count. And finally, I said, I love you. And we made it. We're here. Four kids later. Now, I want you to think about, and she did say, I love you back, finally. But I want you to think about God putting himself out there. Like when you say, I love you to somebody, what if you said, I love you, and they said, thanks. Not what I was hoping I'd hear back. Or I love you, and some say, I'm still thinking about that. How would you feel? Like, I'm going to go home now, right? God put himself out there. Like he looked at you and me and the world. He said, I love you. And some of us were like, no, I'm good. He said, I love you. And some people are like, I don't want you. He said, I love you. And people are like, no, I don't agree with you. I don't want to do it your way. And yet he did it still. He chased us down. Come on. And gave us his son. He loves us. Okay. So he sends Jesus to be the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, and he sends Jesus to also be the remedy of this barrier that existed in the Old Testament of God and people. In our verses today, in verse 10, it's a big word. If you say it enough, you'll be spitting. He said he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins, or for our sins, excuse me. That word means, literally, propitiation, the mercy seat. It means the mercy seat, and it means this. Attached to that, the mercy seat, it means to appease God's anger. Jesus lived a sinless life, He was tempted in every point like us, and yet he did not sin. Then he dies for you and me. He didn't do anything, but he did it so that God could have you and I. And in the Old Testament, how this high priest would go in, he would take a stick, dip it in the blood of a lamb, go in the temple, Ark of the Covenant, sling it 7 times. People of God would be right, sins covered for a season. Jesus came, and he did the exact same thing. Check it. He didn't get a stick of wood. He hung on a piece of wood. He didn't kill a lamb because he is the Lamb of God. Then, while he did all that, he didn't sprinkle blood 7 times. He shed his blood 7 different ways. First, his back was beaten 39 times. By his stripes, we are healed, spirit, soul, and body. Then they took a crown of thorns and shoved it on his head, which penetrated his skull. And he did that for the soundness of our mind. That's 2 times. Then he takes a spike, or they do, excuse me, and put it in his left hand. Spike in his right hand. They take a spike, one spike, and they put it between or through both feet. That's 6. And the final thing is when he died, they took a spear and they shoved it in his side, and the blood and the water flowed. He shed his blood 7 different ways to be the mercy seat so that the anger that God had toward sin and towards, you know, people and their wrong acts was appeased, so that now that barrier could be bridged and you and I could find grace and mercy in the sight of God. When you and I call on Jesus to be saved, the Bible says you and I are saved. And Jesus, he appeased the anger of God. So in the Old Testament, the question is God mad? In the Old Testament, yes. But in the New Testament, no. Because Jesus has appeased the anger of God. And in the study of the scriptures, we are in the time of what we call grace. Paul said we are in the time of the Gentiles, meaning that all people that are non-Jewish, God is reaching in the world, and he is wanting to save, to seek and save those who are lost. You and I are in the moment where God is not in heaven, only because of Jesus. God is not in heaven looking down at us, judging us, lightning bolts, ready to curse us when we don't line up. God is ready actually to bless us. His arms are open to us. He's saying, I loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, I'm drawing you to me. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's because of Jesus that you and I have this chance. So when Jesus shed his blood 7 different ways, because he was the Lamb, he is the Lamb, and he hung on a piece of wood, he is the mercy seat, he didn't cover our sin, he removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Come on, give it up to Jesus. I feel that. We're clean on the inside. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews that our conscience, the deep recesses of our being, can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. So here's what happens because of Christ, and this is how he has appeased the anger of God. Let's think about this picture in the courtroom of heaven. I'll use me for an example. I'm standing before God the Father, and I'm guilty. Satan comes, and he says, David is guilty of all these things, and my book is probably really big, right? Take days to go through it all. And he would start listing, look at what David did. Look at this. He did this against you. He's guilty. He will die spiritually and forever be out of your presence. And God the Father will say, according to these acts, you are right. But then I have an attorney And his name is Jesus. He let Satan go first and argue to God about how I was a screw up and how I did all these things wrong. He lets him go first. But then my attorney steps up and goes second. And he says, all these things are true. David did all these acts. All these things are true. But one thing you forgot, I died on the cross and I shed my blood. And when he called on my name, I washed his record clean. So now he is innocent before you, Father, and he will be in heaven with us. And Jesus said, I go and prepare your house right now because you are saved under the grace of God. Do you know you are clean in the sight of God today? I know we've done some dirty stuff. I know our book is big, but when you say yes to Jesus, every dark stain is cleansed under the blood of the Lamb, and Satan has no hold on you. And the accuser of the brethren, his argument fails because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is Jesus, and he cleanses us white as snow. Come on, give him praise today. He deserves it. Woo, man. And that's why we're in this place, and that's why you're watching online. We're not here because we're spiritual elitists. We're not here because we know the Bible and we're better than someone. We're here because without God, we would be in a pit. Without God, we would be lost. Without God, we would be dead. We're here by the grace and the mercy of God. And in this moment of time that we're in, we are in a time of grace where the Holy Spirit is moving in the earth. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we receive Jesus. And God, he said in Corinthians, I will live in them. I will walk in them. I will talk to them. I will be their Father, and they will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Is God mad at America? Is God mad at Russia and China? In the nations of the world, does God ever get mad anymore when I do wrong? Because Lord knows we're not perfect. And we have good days and bad days. Is God mad? Where are we at in this? Should we be cursing politicians in the name of Jesus? No. Because Jesus said, if you count those politicians, for example, as your enemy, what did Jesus say to do to our enemy? Pray for your enemy. Love your enemy and then do good to them. Not curse them. We're in a different thing now. So is God mad? Okay, listen. We have heinous crimes happening all the time. Is God grieved? Does it hurt God? Does it anger him? Yes, when a child is pimped out, of course. When you and I fall short, yes. You know, we grieve God. The world's crisis is not something that he laughs at. But we have to understand that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it's because of Jesus that God is seeing you. It's through Jesus that God sees me. It's through Jesus that God sees America. It's through Jesus that God sees China. It's through Jesus that God sees all the nations. And he's not sitting there ready just to destroy people and his people, cursing people and No. He loves his Jewish people and he loves the Palestinian people. He's looking at them through the eyes of love, and Jesus has come to save the nations of the world. And so he's not up there in heaven mad. He's trying to reach people. He's trying to save people. He's trying to rescue people. He's trying to change America. He's trying to visit China. He wants to visit Afghanistan and Pakistan. He wants to do it. And he is thinking of ways to use you and I to be a part of it. Now, in Balanced Bible, this doesn't mean that judgment is not coming. And this doesn't mean that God's wrath isn't there. If anyone tells you that the judgment of God is completely gone, that is error biblically. God's judgment is coming, and folks, it is a righteous judgment. It will be a fair judgment. He will judge all of us and those who have ever lived and will live individually for our acts. We will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christ follower. Those that have not received Jesus will stand before the great white throne, and stand before God. This is all in the scriptures. Then nations, individuals will be judged. Nations will be judged. Nations will be judged either as sheep or goats, meaning whole nations will be categorized as for God or against God. That is coming. Just hear this preacher. I preach, I live this. I am as real as I can be. I'm not perfect. I am wanting to be, but I believe what the Bible says. Read the scripture. Judgment is coming. But we're not there yet. We're not at judgment. We are in this moment of the grace of God reaching for people, wanting to save people, wanting to do amazing things in our own lives, our own homes, our city, our nation, and the nations of the world. But all of us will answer before God. Today, I want to encourage you as I get ready to close that we're in this moment of grace. Receive Jesus if you don't know him. If you're far from him, come back to him. It's like the anger of God has been appeased because of Christ, and we have this moment of time where God is reaching for people and he's saving people. That's why at City, we don't want to make it hard for people to come to Jesus, because Jesus doesn't make it hard to come to God. And you and I have to understand, this is why we love, this is why we build, this is why we lead, this is why we present the gospel as we do, this is why we want to get better at what we do and serve you and your family and reach more people, because all of this counts for eternity. And today, earlier, many people, about 20 people received Jesus. And when they raised their hands and prayed with me, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This counts, the ushers count for something. The media team count for something. City Kids counts for something. And those at the cameras count for something. The online hosts count for something. The singers count for something. Everything counts. Because God is, his posture is reaching. His posture is loving. His posture is saying, come to me, all you who are heavy, and I will give you rest. We go to God through Jesus. We go to heaven through Jesus. We get healed through Jesus. We are made new in Jesus. We have hope in Jesus. We have peace in Jesus. We have grace in Jesus. We have new beginnings in Jesus. And this means that God is not mad at you. God is mad about you and is reaching for you. So if you're an addict, come to Jesus. If you're rich, come to Jesus. If you're poor, come to Jesus. If you're white, come to Jesus. If you're black, come to Jesus. If you're Hispanic, come to Jesus. If you're Asian, come to Jesus. If you're struggling, come to Jesus. If you're tormented, come to Jesus. If you don't know what's going on, come to Jesus. If you've been pushed down, come to Jesus. If you're confused, come to Jesus. If you smoked weed this morning, come to Jesus. If you got a hooker last night, come to Jesus. If you don't know right or left, come to Jesus. If you're religious, come to Jesus. If you worship Satan, come to Jesus. If you're a Muslim, come to Jesus. If you're a Mormon, come to Jesus. If you're homeless, come to Jesus. If you're a politician, come to Jesus. If you're an athlete, come to Jesus. If you're an entertainer, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on, stand and give God a great praise today. He deserves our life. If God was angry with us for a moment, who could stand in his presence? Why do you think we're here? We're not here because we've earned something or because we're, we know or we have the right theology. We're here because of the goodness and the long suffering and the graciousness of a good God who loved us so much that he gave the remedy and gave us Jesus, and he put his neck out there, and we at times have said, I don't want you, but he kept on running after you and me. I'll never forget when I was in high school and I was messing around. I was lost, and I knew I was lost. And one day I was in a car with my mom, and anger problems, and I lashed out and I cussed at my mom. That was a mistake. And my mom's old school. She took her hand and used it as a nice weapon. And I stormed out of the car. It was on Rogers Street. And she kicked me out, rather. And it's more accurate. And I walked to the church, and I remember staying in the office with my mom. And telling my mom that I'm lost, and it broke me. And I was thinking about that story, and some would say, well, God was mad at you, and your mom was mad at you, but yeah, but God's not human, you know? And in that moment, for me, and I'm sure you have stories, God wasn't rejecting me. He was like, dude, I'm going to get to this kid. Like, he's angry, man. I'm trying to get to this kid. This kid needs something else. He needs help in his life. And so God would use my mom and my grandmothers and people in the church and a basketball coach and a cheerleader. He sent a cheerleader to invite me to a youth group, and he just started working out this chess game to get me. And I spoke at our high school for Black History Month, and I spoke to 1,500 kids. Didn't even know what I was doing about, you know, all the stuff was going on. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you're going to be a preacher. I was like, I ain't going to be no preacher, man. I'm not doing this. I was thinking about girls and all this stuff, but God was reaching for me. And if God could not only reach for me, but if God could grab me, he's going to grab you. And if God could change me, he can change you. And maybe you have been changed, but he can change your son. He can change your daughter. He can change your wife. He can change your husband. He can change your uncle. He can change your auntie. He can change your boss. He can change your neighbor. He can change any. He can change America. Come on. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's God all by himself. And it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So right now, please bow your head and bow your heart. I think we're supposed to be seated, but let's just keep on standing. I'll let Candace deal with that. She can come out here in a minute. I feel the Holy Spirit. How many feel God right now? I feel him moving on us in this place. As your heart is bowed and head is bowed, you online, join us in this too. And you would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never received Christ. Others of you would say, man, I have received Jesus, but man, in this moment, I'm not close to God. I'm far from him, and I know I'm not right with God. Maybe like me that day when I was cussing my mom out. You know, man, something's not right, and I got to get right. If that's you in this moment right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you today. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, give them a hand. People coming to God today. Thank you. Thank you. And how many would say, you know, Pastor Dave, in my life, that record that Satan tries to say about me, it's still over me in terms of guilt and shame. I feel like God, his back has turned from me because of all the stuff I've done or what I'm doing now. And I feel like I'm overwhelmed, and I feel like God can't get to me. And you would say, I want help because I need the grace of God, and you want shame and guilt removed off of you so that you can receive the posture of God the Father, which is reaching for you and loving you and wanting you so much. And you would say, I want that today. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you to be free of guilt and shame. I'm going to pray for you to come into, yes, there, thank you, thank you, thank you. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say no to it. I say yes to you. I live by your word. I'm yours forever. And through the Holy Spirit, I command shame and guilt to come off of me. I receive the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, the grace of God. I receive the mercy of God forever in Jesus' name. Let's give him a great hand clap of praise.